We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru.
I actually like the originals that on the one side said, suck them. On the other said, bite them.
Yeah.
On 95.7, The Game.
Anybody who doesn't get that reference doesn't like sweet tarts. It's that simple. Hey, we are joined right now by Nick Friedell of
ESPN. Happy Valentine's Day.
Nick! Yes, sir. Nick does NBA right now, but versed in many, many sports. What's up, man? Thanks for coming in.
Guys, great to have me. It's great to be here, and I'm looking forward to it.
He's got that voice. He got that from Clay.
Oh, like, he got that voice, Donnie.
Now, I take it there's a reason you're not in Chicago?
Yeah, I didn't want to be in the cold.
Nice. Nice. You know what? I was thinking about this. The NBA would have actually been better off playing this weekend in Antarctica. It's 68 degrees in Antarctica right
now. Wow.
It's 70.
That's not good for us all.
That's a fact.
Yeah, it's not good for
take
us
that,
all.
Take that to the bank.
Those are facts.
That worries me. I'm bigger than sports.
Nick, let me start out here. Thoughts on the trade to get Andrew Wiggins?
When it first popped up, I went, oh, no, 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 no. Because I had seen Andrew Wiggins a lot the last few years in Minnesota. And there were games where you'd see him and you'd go, oh, this guy, he's got it. The talent's all there. And then there were three or four other games where he would just disappear on the floor. So immediately I went, I cannot believe they just traded for Andrew Wiggins. But guys, in the last week or so, in talking to enough people within the organization, they didn't think that D'Angelo Russell was going to work. They thought this was the best deal they were going to get. And I think most importantly, on top of how Andrew Wiggins fits long term, they think that pick from Minnesota that is top three protected next year and that is totally unprotected 2 years from now is going to be fantastic. And I agree with them because I don't know what the hell Minnesota is doing because I don't believe in Karl-Anthony Towns as the face of that team. So with all that in mind, it's the trade's growing on me a little bit more, but I've watched Wiggins enough to believe that this is who he is. And the Warriors are counting on the culture to bring the very best out of him. We're going to see over the next year or however long he stays here what he can become. But in the end, I think that pick is the key asset.
Real quick, I just want no interview. Right. Nick's just in.
Yeah,
Nick's just in.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Yeah, we're just listening. It's like a four-man show for this.
Hey. Okay, so this is what I want to throw out to you all.
Thanks, son.
And I threw it out a little bit.
And by the way, you're on camera. Just seeing.
Oh, boy. All right.
You know. There you go.
There you go.
I don't like people to be caught off guard.
And Nick, you thanks, can start Nick. The answer here, but then we're just going to go for a free-for-all. Do you think when the Warriors got D'Angelo Russell, they were conscientious in thinking – he might work, or do you think they really knew he wouldn't work and they'd have to come to this point?
Sonny, I think all along they knew that it probably wasn't going to work, but they didn't want to lose Kevin for nothing.
Right.
You've heard it over and over and over again. In the back of their minds, they were hoping, hey, maybe he comes in and maybe he becomes this piece next to Steph and Clay over time. We'll see what happens. But then Steph gets hurt. And early on, you just got the sense that D'Angelo, while very talented, just didn't fit for what they wanted to do for the long haul. So I wasn't surprised in that regard at all. But to your point, when they made the trade, I went, eh. And then Bob Myers came out and said, no, we didn't just get him to flip him. I always thought they knew that they would probably flip him. And now here we are. They didn't even let it go past the trade deadline. They took what they could get, and they moved forward.
Now, I'm that athleticism guy. So I've always liked Wiggins, but I know he doesn't have that killer like the Westbrooks and the Hardens, I'm a takeover. And I think the change, Nick, of environment, now you got Kerr, Steph, Clay, Dre, I think it's going to manifest to where we'll see the best he can be, but we don't need him to be, this team doesn't need him to be a one. There'll be moments. But what I want you to do for me is slap me and tell me I need to quit getting excited for next year because now I'm seeing Marquise Chris to me look like a viable option at center. He's got some girth. He's jumping. He's athletic. Do I need to slow down with this whatever's going to come in the draft with their pick? Or if they move it, Nick, now with Wiggins, everybody healthy, and Chris is center, does that excite you when you look at the state of the Western Conference?
All right, Guru, how far do you think that team can go, though? Because they can be really good, but how far do you think they can take it, assuming that all the pieces work?
The Western Conference Finals.
Pump the brakes a little bit.
See, okay. And you know what's funny is when you say, should I slow down on Marquise Chris, I'm actually going the other way.
Yeah.
I'm speeding up a little. I'm kind of, like the last week or two, I'm like, huh.
Maybe
this is what Phoenix saw.
Right. Well, they thought they were getting this guy, maybe.
But couldn't make happen.
Exactly. They just couldn't get the most out of him. The Warriors wholeheartedly believe in that culture part. With Wiggins, with Chris, bring in the guy, we're going to get the very best out of him. But as I watch what's happened here the last few months, I think the difference for me is I'm looking at Wiggins, and I'm saying, all right, well, this is kind of the team now, and we'll see what they do with that pick. But the Wiggins deal brought finality to all the possibilities because you always thought, all right, well, what are they going to get for Russell, and do they attach him with the pick down the line for something else? And now this is it. They're going to be really, really good, guys. They're going to be really good next year. But do I think that knowing what we know in the West in the moment that they can go chase another title? It's possible, but I wouldn't bet on it in this moment.
What do they need to do?
They've got to hit on that pick.
Have him be a contributor next year?
And he's got to come in and help them right away. I think the thing that worries me, on top of the obvious of all the guys that are a couple years older, Steph, Clay, Draymond, I came from Chicago, and I watched Derrick Rose in that first year after the ACL just try to put the pieces back. And I'm really interested to see how Clay does defensively. Because if he can't move the same way, at least next season, as he's making his way back off this ACL injury, you're not gonna be as great of a team as you want it to be. So Clay's an unbelievable player. He's been busting his butt in rehab. They're all excited about having him back, and they think he looks pretty good. But a year off an ACL, usually, no matter who the player is, it takes another year. It's into that second year where you start to come back and look like yourself again.
I want to go back to Wiggins a little bit. And I know it's three games, but the most impressive aspect of his game to me over the three games is the things that he's done and the way that he's done it. I can picture that with Steph and Clay, and it seems to fit. It's not like Wiggins is doing his D-Lo, where it's take 25 shots and score as much as you can.
I'm going to get my shots up, right.
It looks, even though those guys aren't here, like something that he could do if they were here. Do you see where I'm coming from with that? Or is it just, hey, Wiggins can have games like that, and I've seen a lot of them, and you need to actually see it before you believe it?
JD, I see it. I see it, and I think the key for me is night one, I walk down to the Warriors locker room, and I see a face from my past, and that would be Tom Thibodeau.
Oh.
The old coach of the Bulls.
We just had him on not too long ago.
Oh, you guys are all great. Oh, this is so great to be back. You know, this guy's mental. But Tibbs is a huge fan of this move because he believes exactly what you believe, JD, that when Steph and Clay do come back and Draymond is motivated and ready to get rolling again, Wiggins can fit into the role they need him to be in. And so, while I saw Wiggins at times be the third option Minnesota with Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns and disappear, as the fourth option of this group, or the guy who doesn't need to do it all the time, I think it's possible to get him to some other place. But I'll tell you what gets the Warriors excited and should get Warriors fans excited, at least in this small sample size of a week. Andrew Wiggins is playing some solid defense, and he historically has been a pretty poor defender. If they can get him to believe on that side of the ball, it's only going to open up everything else they want to do on the offensive end.
Are we going to see Tibbs as an official member of the Warriors at some point in their organization?
He's gonna be back here, I'm sure, bouncing around. I wonder if he'll take an assistant job if he doesn't get a head coaching job during this next cycle, because there's going to be a lot of jobs open here,
yeah,
guys. And he wants back in really badly.
Yeah.
But with Tibbs, I still wonder, after all this time and all the money that he's made, if he would go back to that assistant post first to try to get back in. But if somebody were to leave, if there were a coaching change on Steve's bench, Tibbs would fit a lot of needs, and I think he would really enjoy that experience.
Nick Friedell of ESPN is joining us here, along with Matt Steinmetz, Daryl the Guru Johnson, and John Dickinson on 95.7 The Game, talking some hoops. Nick covers the NBA and the Golden State Warriors. With Thibodeau, do you think another team would give him, like, he's brilliant, we know that, but he's also a lunatic. Do you think another team would take a chance on him for his third job?
I believe so.
Do you?
And you talk to enough people around the league, study, and they kind of go, you're nuts.
Right.
He's nuts and you're nuts, because the narrative of all the minutes and all the extra practice time, whether it was fair or not, that is hanging over him right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
But the guy wins. He works. Now, has he won a title? No. And a lot of people in Chicago still blame all the minutes that guys like Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah and Luol Deng played, and then they kind of, their bodies broke down. But what I would say, the worst thing that happened for Tibbs is that over the course of those 5 years in Chicago, the analytics really started to come into the game more. So he grew up under Jeff Van Gundy and Doc Rivers, and those guys just played and played and played and were used to the league having guys out there and playing 40-plus minutes every night. And then analytics came in and said, oh, well, this isn't the best idea. The only guy who could really do this over time was Michael Jordan. So I think Tibbs can adjust, because I think he wants back in so badly. But I don't believe it's going to happen for him right now. I think it's going to take some years and some separation to reset those narratives and get him back in as a head coach.
Now, you can tell just by the energy in this room, Nick, that we're all excited about the possibilities of next year, and it's predicated on Steph, Clay, and the Chris and the rest of the gang. But a name we've been talking about, and I need your help with this, is Draymond Green. When he's at his optimum, in his prime, he's like no other. But, Nick, I got to tell you, I'm watching games. I don't know if it's slippage. There's games he's not available. He signed the 4-400 in the middle of the night in the summer. And I said, okay, he's going to come show these guys. Walk us through what you think the state of Draymond Green is now. And is this just kind of, you know what, the rest of the gang's hurt? Just take a sabbatical? Because I'm worried if he's not who he's being next year, thinking he is.
Guru, Draymond's taking his gap year like everybody else.
Yeah.
He's just on the floor right now, kind of trying to help these younger kids find their way. But from Christmas is when it peaked for Draymond and for everybody else. They got that win over the Rockets, and it was like, okay, well, we know it's still possible when we want to turn it all the way to an 11, and everything's going to be okay. But Draymond has played a lot of minutes, I think, emotionally and physically. After all this time, he's looking around going, well, Steph's not out here, and Clay's not out here, and Kevin's gone, and now Andre's gone,
that's
and Sean Livingston's
something.
Gone. He will be ready, I believe, to be motivated again every night next year. Now, what you're saying, there is a lot of validity to it, because a lot of people around the league are going, wait, Draymond's going to be back to old Draymond next year, a couple years later. I still think in the next year or two, that's when you got to do it. And that's what I don't think people are talking enough about, in that the Warriors are going to be really good, but they got to win in these next couple of years. You go 3-4 years down the line, they're going to have a lot of talent, but I don't know if they're going to have enough talent to legitimately contend for a title.
It's a 2-year window, right?
Absolutely.
It's 2 years.
It's time to win
away. You said that.
I agree, and I'm a little more skeptical than these guys. I'm open to the possibility that the Warriors could be elite again. But there's just something, and I can't tangibly put it out there, but I'm worried that maybe there's just a bunch of teams that have leapfrogged them. Like, I think there's a chance. I'm not saying it's going to happen. They come back next year, and it's like, Utah's just better than them. Maybe Dallas is better than them. Again, I'm not saying it could happen, but I feel like everybody else is progressing, and the Warriors are on hold right now. And then when they come back, they're still going to have a really new team together, and they're going to have to get it together in a year.
Fast. Real fast.
Exactly. Wow.
But I'm with you. I think that is a real concern, only because now we haven't seen these guys play, Steph and Clay, essentially for a year. And when you're seeing Steph over the next few weeks when he does return, you can't take too much from it because he's not going to be playing with many of the guys who are going to be the difference makers down the line. I mean, now Wiggins is in, and Draymond, I'm sure, will get revved up for a few of those games. But now, guys, we're going to get in April. You can't tell me they're not going to sit some of those guys in those last few games and say, all right, we really don't need to win these. Let's take a step back. So they all know the pressure's on. They all know that the next couple of years are going to be really important. If they come out flat to start next year, or shouldn't even say flat, if they're like a 4 or 5 seed, then you'd start to get more worried because you're sitting there looking at a team that is only getting older over time. So I think the next year or two is very crucial as far as getting into championship contention again.
It's interesting because of the three guys, Curry's the one I'm least worried about. I'm trying to think who I'd be more worried about, Draymond's age or Clay's ankle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or Clay's ACL.
ACL, yeah.
That's interesting because I look at it as Clay's the one, even though it's an ACL, that I feel like would have the least amount of slippage. Like Curry,
really?
I think Curry just the natural slippage and maybe not having another superstar with him may take a toll because teams are just going to come after Curry now.
Yeah.
Like teams are really – like when it's the game plan of how do you slow down the Warriors, it's come after Curry.
Right.
Which you didn't have a lot of success with 14, 15, 16 until the end, and then you go get Kevin Durant and all bets are off.
And everything was okay again. But J.D., you're right, because every team's going to throw everybody they've got at Steph. The guy who would worry me, though, going back to what Guru and I were talking about, is Draymond year after year. Because when you are playing with the edge that he's got to play with, I would think over time, if you keep going to that well, that's where the slippage is going to come from. But only time will tell because this is a proud team. This is a team that's listening to all these people all over the league saying, ah, it's over. There's no chance. This is it. They're aware of it. It will motivate them. And next year is going to be a lot of fun to watch either way.
Now, social media, I don't have to tell you, is a powerful tool. And we got a saying on the show, put the rat on the table where something needs to be talked about. And I want to ask you, because to me, I'm telling you, Nick, Steph Curry has nothing to prove to me. But there were people waiting in the, we call them jackals, waiting in the weeds, national TV, this season to see if Steph just with D'Lo without Clay, how far he could take him. And I ask you, do you think there's pressure on Steph next season on how far he can take this team without Kevin Durant? Because to me, I don't think that's valid, but it's out there, and I'm wondering, is there anything that can transpire next season to where, Nick, you'll tell me, I look at Steph just a tad bit different on this or that in regard to leadership?
Not at all.
Okay.
His legacy is set. The issue for Steph is going to be all those people that you mentioned that were questioning him before, they're not going to stop questioning him, but he's got the rings. He's got the
unanimous MVP.
Exactly. Well, he's got the respect around the league. And so the critics may come out a little bit, but he's just going to laugh and say, look at my rings. Okay. Right. I mean, if you're Steph Curry, no matter what happens from here on out, your legacy is secure. But I will tell you, getting to know Steph a little bit more over the last year and a half or two, he hears all that stuff. And everybody keeps talking about Draymond being more motivated. Clay, can he come back off that injury? Steph Curry is going to come into next season and think, okay, it's time to remind everybody just how good I can be when I'm on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but I'm with JD. The season's so long, and like these guys have managed the last 3 or 4 seasons. And that's the other thing. Let's say they come out, and JD brought this up. I think it's kind of true. If they come out and they're, let's say, 5-4 or even 10-8, and they're like, you know, we'll find out in 2 or 3 months. He thinks they're done at that point.
Like, that's not going to be good enough. Like, it's got to be ready to roll from the jump.
I don't believe to what you're saying that the Warriors could say, oh, well, we'll just figure it out in the playoffs. I think they need that momentum to start the season to get rolling for themselves after this gap year.
We're back.
Exactly.
Because
hey, remember
we're
us?
18 yeah. and 5.
I'm with you in that regard. If they start off pretty slow, then you really start to worry. And you don't just worry about next year, you worry about the next few years
right.
because, again, this goes back to the Wiggins deal. Everybody's locked in now.
Yep.
Steph, Clay, Draymond, Wiggins, huge money. You could attach some of those picks and get off one of those deals. Obviously, you're not getting off Steph or Clay, but potentially down the line, you could get off of one of those contracts if you want. But are you going to make yourselves that much better with whatever you're getting back in return?
From the 925, Nick is my favorite on ESPN The Jump. No matter what D'Lo says about it.
You
and D'Angelo Russell a little back and forth.
That was interesting the other day.
Wow.
I still remember at Media Day, guys, and I really liked my time with D'Angelo. JD and I were down there a lot. He was very professional in how he treated the media, but he came up to me at Media Day. We're doing an interview, and he's like, I got to tell you something. And I'm like, oh, is he upset about what I said about the deal?
Yeah.
I didn't think that was gonna work, but he's like, I gotta tell you something. You always keep it real, and I respect that. And so when I woke up the other day and I saw my phone exploded, I thought, well, maybe that's not true anymore. But truly, like I hope he does well. I'm just not buying the Towns as the face going forward with Minnesota. He just hadn't won anything yet in the league.
I'm with you. And let's say the season ends tomorrow, Nick, and you're Nick Myers. What does this team need in the draft? As excited as I am about Chris, has that deterred you to where we don't need a big? What does this team need, like, pressing, right, like, immediately?
Guru, the name that's popped up, I'm sure you guys have talked about it for months. The name that seems to fit is James Wiseman.
That's what
you get him. You plug him in, you let him grow with this group, I think you're in really good shape. And again, that's not to discount what Marquise Chris has done so far. I mean,
You'll have him too,
and he is only getting more confidence day by day. But Wiseman, when you talk to people who have watched him the last couple of years, and we're not going to see him much, obviously, at Memphis, he would fit with what they want to do, and he would be able to move up and down the way they want somebody to do that.
What kind of guy is he? To your understanding, like, does anybody really know?
Nobody really knows for sure. There's going to be a lot of people calling up Penny Hardaway in the next 3-4 months saying, all right, give it to me straight. Like, what kind of kid is this? But
and
if we've seen anything.
I have a feeling he'll say, I'm not sure.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not good.
Exactly. But you guys know this much better than I do. When you watch the Warriors and the type of guys that fit within this team and this culture, there is a specific kind of guy. And while they liked D'Angelo personally, I think they knew pretty early that he's not our kind of guy here. So that's part of the draft process. That's why Bob Myers and Mike Dunleavy and his staff, they're flying all over the place trying to get that information. But there is absolutely a certain type of player who works here, and they better pick right away, guys, because, again, that window, I don't think it's closed now, but it's not going to stay open forever.
Yeah.
And you need something ready-made. Like you said, you ain't got time to wait and babysit.
That's right. I mean, that's the real conundrum is how do you get championship role players in here in the next 2 years? And,
the next 6 months.
Yeah. I mean, Wiseman, if he doesn't play, it's not going to mean he's useless or a bust. But it's really not what they need for this year. They gotta have a player there, I would think.
It's got to happen on a pretty reasonable deal, too.
Right.
This is when you go and you say, all right, who wants to chase the ring? This is where you find that one guy.
The David Wests of the world.
Exactly. Who you haven't, he hasn't won, but he knows if he comes here, he's got a chance.
Wow.
He's got a chance to do it.
I was looking at the free agent list, and we're going to take a little break here. Actually, you know what? I'll throw a name at you of one of the free agents that I saw out there and get your thoughts on it. All right, here's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game, sponsored by Northern California Toyota dealer. We've got more with Nick Friedel of ESPN talking Golden State Warriors. We may get back to a little football. And again, that's brought to you by the Northern California Toyota dealer.
Now back to Bronte, Steiny, and Guru.
He's got some girth.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, what's going on? Matt Steinmetz, Darryl the Guru Johnson. JD is in for Bonte. That's John Dickinson. And joining us in studio, Nick Friedel. I'm saying that okay?
Friedel.
Nick Friedel of ESPN. And we're talking hoops. Nick covers the NBA and the Warriors for ESPN. All right, so the Warriors have the mid-level. How about we go down the list of some free agents and you guys...
Let's do it.
Just, all right, now, and we're going to have to start with number one, but I got to set it up. Do you think there was any thought that the Golden State Warriors would have taken nothing back for Durant, not re-signed Draymond, which would put him in a contract year this year, brought Iguodala back, okay, re-signed Clay, and then this offseason make a run at Anthony Davis?
I have not heard that one. I have not heard that one. It sure feels like everybody thinks that Anthony Davis is headed back to L.A.
Fair. Brandon Ingram is restricted. I'm going to take him out. Andre Drummond has a player option. Let's say he exercises it. His name sometimes you hear floating.
I like him, Nick.
He would fit for a lot of the things that they need. Andre Drummond is a player who the game has almost passed by at this point.
Damn.
And he's a really good player. It's just that the back-to-the-basket guys and the big bodies who can't shoot from distance, there's just not a lot of value. There's not nearly as much as there used to be. So he's going to pick that up because where else is he going to get that kind of money from right now? Right.
I'm out on Drummond.
I think I'm out, too.
You guys don't like him.
About this big guy, Montrezl Harrell.
Like him a lot. I like him a lot.
Now.
But he's getting more in the mid-level.
That's
getting more than
accurate, most likely. Gordon Hayward's got a player option. I'm going to throw him out. I'll tell you what. There's talk about what do you think about Fred VanVleet? Think he gets more in the mid-level?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
Well, he'd be.
Well, especially now that we're talking about a $6 million mid-level versus a $9.3 million mid-level.
That's true. That's true. I'll tell you what, I would take him in a second and make
Toronto
that my
will
guard,
too. He ain't going nowhere.
Three-guard rotation. Yeah. Bogdanovich is restricted. Marcus Morris, unrestricted. I wouldn't want him anywhere near my team.
I think he's going to want more
than a
mid-level.
I think you need some of that.
There
but I don't know
key.
That he's going to get it.
Is he going to get it?
And I don't know that he would be worth more than about a mid-level. Like, if I had $10
but
million
nasty,
a year to give him,
man.
I'm not sure I'd want to give him $10
they're
million.
They're nasty, Nick. Both of them, they know what they do.
The edge is there.
Draymond,
like the Bass Brothers up, running in onto the floor every night.
Would teams be scared to go to the hole?
Would you? What do you think positionally? Because one of the things the last couple weeks with the trades and everything, you can kind of see who's penciled in for next year now. Wiggins obviously is part of that. You know, Chris and Looney are out there as far as either they're the second and the third center or they're the first and the second center, however you want to. But you need a center. You need one more center in that mix. You need a backup point/combo guard, and you really need a backup wing. And now Wiggins kind of plugs in. So you almost need a big... And then you need your, in essence, your Iguodala and your Livingston replacements.
You hope Glenn Robinson the third comes back.
Okay.
Wow.
So that'd
that
be
one
would
of them.
Fit one.
So that'd be, and he might be a mid-level.
You liked him, Nick?
I did. And
price
even
point.
More, they really liked him internally. He just fit everything that they were trying to do. But JD, I'll tell you what really is concerning, having watched him try to figure out physically what he's able to do this year, is Kevon Looney.
Yeah,
and that guy,
I was just gonna.
That guy has been unbelievable for them in big games, but to watch him struggle with the neuropathy,
that's serious stuff.
It is
man.
Serious stuff. So I know that they're going to give him every benefit of the doubt to try to get him back on the floor and playing at a high level. And he's going through a gap year too. That is just very concerning when you watch him and you listen to what Bob and Steve have said. You go, oh, man, like, what kind of future is this going to be if he can't get physically right again?
And the scariest thing about him to me is he's basically had a mulligan. He's not been called upon.
Yep.
They have given him, Nick, time on top of time, and it's still
I'm worried about it.
I'm very worried about his future, man.
Everybody should be, because for exactly that, every time you think, all right, he's through it, he's going to get back on the floor, he's going to still keep playing at that same high level, you watch him, and there were moments where he looks really good again, and there are a lot more where you're kind of like, all right,
wow, man,
what's happening? So that the extra big man, whomever it may be over the course of free agency coming up, that is very crucial.
Let me ask you this, and if you were a GM of another team and you'd been really doing your homework, do you think other GMs like know about Looney's injury history and might think it's a little too, because the last two times he became a free agent, man, I thought someone would go get him because he does about two or three things exceptionally well, but it never came, and I never really understood why. And even JD brought up, like, if I were another team, I might almost take him off the Warriors just to take him off the Warriors.
Steiny, you and me both. Because I'm watching him in the playoffs last year. Remember, he's playing through, I think it was like a collarbone.
Yeah.
He played through a bunch of different stuff. And he was great for them. And free agency hits, and you're like, oh, there's no way. And then the news pops out that he's staying. You're like, what?
Wow.
But this ties back into the Drummond conversation. Kevon is the type of player who would have been unbelievable 15, 20 years ago. And it's not that he doesn't have value in the game now. It's just that he doesn't have nearly as much now as right. he would have had then.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, running down. By the way, we're joined by Nick Friedell. He works for ESPN, covers the Warriors, NBA, knows about all sports, though. Here's an interesting play. DeMar DeRozan, he's got a player option. Obviously, he's probably out of their price range, but
Not a fan of the player, though, either, huh? Or the fit?
What about with Clay and Steph? See, now, interestingly, when people were like, oh, D'Angelo, Clay, Steph, I was like, no chance.
What do you think about this fit, though?
I think you could play Curry, Clay, and DeRozan together.
Wow.
More than you could play D'Angelo, Russell, Curry, and Clay at the three.
The question would be, Steiny, then, does DeRozan play the type of style that the Warriors play?
Because
on top of the personality fit that didn't seem to be there with D'Angelo, the real fit was he doesn't play the type of style that the Warriors play. Up and down, cut, go, 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 go. He kind of does his own thing. And
no doubt,
the pick and pop, and then they traded Cauley-Stein, you're like, well, there goes that. So with DeRozan, is he going to opt out? Because is he going to get that much money somewhere else right now? I have my doubts. So I don't know if the fit would be there, but if the price got low enough, maybe you take the risk.
Yeah, I think that's a long shot.
To me, you got Wiggins, you don't.
Danilo Gallinari. Unrestricted.
I'd love to have him.
I love him.
Yeah, how much there?
Well, you tell me. What do you think?
He's above the mid-level,
making
too.
$20 million this year.
Bingo. There's the key. I mean, when we start going through the next few months with the Warriors, the question is, okay, mid-level or not? Because again, if you keep Wiggins, if you say, all right, I want to see how it goes,
that's going to happen
in the next year. I mean, it sounds like he's here at least for another year or two. So you keep Wiggins, Draymond's probably not going anywhere, and Steph and Clay certainly aren't going anywhere. So the question is he, whomever the player is, going to take that cash that's right there, or is he going to be above that line?
Wow. Mike Conley's got a player option, but he's going to use it, or he's going to forget him for now. Yeah. Paul Millsap, unrestricted, making $30 million this year, but that's because he was one of the guys.
Wow. $30 million. What a contract. Right.
Wow. In an interesting kind of way.
Damn.
Like, I think he's taking a step down.
Physically,
But on this team, I could see him being a rotation guy on this team.
Yeah. I think he's taking two steps down.
Gotcha.
I think that's the problem. And guys, as we're going through this list, you know what scares me? They really better hit on that pick. Or if you trade the pick, you better bring in somebody who you know is going to plug and play right away. Because as we've gone through all these names, this is the team. I mean, you're looking at the team. Steph, Clay, Draymond, Wiggins. Boom.
I may have found the guy they're going to sign. Davis Bertans.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. The third Splash Brother. That guy can, I mean, he can shoot it from everywhere.
6'10". Knockdown 3-point shooter. He's making $7 million this year.
He's going to make more than that. Yeah. There's the problem again.
Serge Ibaka, unrestricted.
You out on Serge?
Too many miles.
Yeah, I don't know how much he's going to be able to give regularly anymore. Plus, I think somebody will say, Serge Ibaka, let's see what we can get. We'll give him a little more money.
He's looking more frisky, more like his old self, but... I would love to see him on the dub.
It's the money.
Yeah.
It's the money.
Joe Harris, shooting guard.
He's awesome. Not enough balls.
But he'd have to bring
him
off the bench.
Well, there you go.
I think he's going to get more than the mid-level, too.
I agree with you.
I think he's going to go to a team that really thinks he's a big piece for them. Here's a guy, Tristan Thompson.
I look at him as a veteran minimum guy, not a mid-level guy.
I'm in.
But I know he's played better than that.
Especially if Looney Nick is would be like, to me, A-minus in regard to replacement or insurance for Looney.
He's not more than a mid-level.
I don't think so. I mean,
I don't either.
I haven't even heard his name that much in the last couple of years since those finals battles. Yeah. It just doesn't seem
shooting
like
threes now.
But he is in Cleveland, and they're atrocious.
Goran Dragic. Goran Dragic, unrestricted point
guard. I like his game. I would think he'd probably get more than the mid-level, though.
I wonder if he'd want to come off the bench. I mean, he comes off the bench now.
In Miami,
He plays a lot. Marc Gasol, is he washed? Marc Gasol.
Marc Gasol is a perfect test case because at this point, what is his market value in the league? Does he want to cash in one more time on a big two-year deal? Or do the Warriors come in and say, hey, look, Mark, you just won a title in Toronto. We believe we have another shot to win a title this season. We need another big man in here who we can trust. And then if you bring Gasol in, there's not as much pressure on Chris to develop as quickly as he has now. There's not as much pressure on Kevon Looney to get through whatever physically is ailing him in the moment. So I like the fit. I just don't know money-wise.
I think he's the best fit of anybody we've named to this point.
You know what? I'm kind of with you because, you know, if it's true the game slows down in the postseason, well, then he's going to help you. And not only that, guy can pass.
Yes, he can.
And that kind of lines up with the way Bogut used to play with his team.
And he is a championship experience guy. He's a guy that's seen it all.
I'm going to gloss over Hassan Whiteside.
No.
Jay Crowder.
No.
Jay Crowder.
I still like Jay Crowder.
Yeah, me too.
He can play.
And he can defend.
And he's nasty.
Why do people not like
Jay
Crowder?
He got an edge to him, man.
It feels like he might be one of those guys who thinks he's a little better than he is.
Nothing wrong with that.
Too confident in that.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that, Stein, as long as you ain't shooting it like that.
Well,
he got hot on the Warriors the other night.
When you got Stephen in play, you got to be careful. I'll tell you what. Here's another interesting name. Derek Favors.
I'm in. What's he making?
Well, he's going to be making 0.0 at the end of the year, but 17 right now. I'll tell you what, and this is a guy I wanted to talk about, even though it doesn't really impact the Warriors. He's got a player option. Tim Hardaway Jr., he is good. Tim Hardaway Jr. is good. And the Knicks gave up Porzingis and Tim Hardaway Jr. Tim Hardaway Jr.
That's why
is
they're the Knicks.
Good.
Yeah.
He's a gunner.
I like him a lot. He is...
I would think he'd be out of that range.
Oh, yeah, no, he's got a player option. I almost wanted to talk about him separate from the Warriors. Aaron Baines.
Oh, jeez. Aaron Baines and Steph, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Just don't sit on him again, okay?
That's right. I forgot about that. Dylan Brooks just re-signed. I got no interest in Enes Kanter.
Nah,
anybody?
No.
Otto Porter?
No.
He's not going to.
Damn, he's already a free agent again, huh?
Now I think he's got a player option that he will absolutely be picking up for $28 million or something.
Dwight Howard.
Oh, man. Look,
see, I don't think that's outside the realm of possibility.
Stein, that is a really intriguing possibility. I was all the way out on Dwight before the year started because I didn't think, knowing his past in Orlando and even knowing his past in the last few years, I didn't know if he would fit in the framework of that locker room.
Right.
Dwight has rehabbed his image a lot in the last 4 or 5 months, and he's played very well. It's a credit to getting his body right again and getting his mind right from where he was.
As excited as I am about that name, there's no way the Lakers are going to give up on him, right? I mean, he's earned everything that you would. I mean, you look at that front line. Stein, do you think?
I think they would
lose him in a second. These games, that anchor of just physicality,
yeah.
I'm telling you.
He's
I feel like they all appreciate J-Kid, the vote. They all are like, you just being out there gives us that physical presence to win. Anthony Davis, I love him, but him along with Davis just gives the Lakers something I think the Clippers don't.
We got to put the real rat on the table, though, for Nick.
Is it a player?
No, it's the conversation of the day on this show before he joined us.
Well, can we wait one second?
Sure.
I want to talk about one of our favorite players from the Warriors.
Yeah, Bobby Portis?
Bobby Portis?
Oh, Bobby P.
You got to be familiar
crazy
with
B.
Bobby
P.
Portis.
Oh, man. I know a lot about Bobby Portis.
He threw a ball at Napier last night. Technical ejection.
What?
Yeah.
A couple
he's
nights
great.
Ago.
I love Bobby Portis.
Guru, you want a guy with edge? You want a little extra edge running around the locker room?
How did I miss that?
Him and Draymond together.
Oh man. Bobby would give this team the edge that they're looking for. It's the same as it ever was, though, with a lot of these guys coming off deals. Are you going to take a little less to play in a better environment, especially when you're that young, trying to make your money
in
the league?
He's got some talent, right?
He is very good offensively. Defensively, there's still kind of a lot of lapses, but the edge is there. You don't want to mess with Bobby P.
What do you got?
For Nick, we got to ask him, we got to put the full rat on the table. We spent the first two hours of the show today.
But I do have one more basketball
thing. Well, then you want me, because I'm going to football.
Okay, let me ask you one
I'm
more.
I'm going to football.
Don't ask about Marvin Williams.
A lot of Warrior fans, when they look at, we've got a pick, we got the mid-level, they talk about the $17 million trade exception. Can you explain to people why it's kind of not that simple to just plug a $17 million player in there?
Everything would have to fit financially, Stoney, and that's the issue. Is I don't think it's going to suddenly, the conversation's not going to disappear, but I want people to understand, when you make the deal for Wiggins and the financial ramifications that come with his contract and that pick in the future, that's probably it. I mean, they're not going to stop working the phones. You don't know what's going to happen around the draft. You don't know what other names pop up, but that's the move. I mean, the move was, what do we do to maximize the value we could potentially get from D'Angelo Russell? They felt positionally like it would fit with Wiggins, and so far in the last week, it has. But I'm with you. You heard so much about, the trade exception. It's not as easy as just saying, all right, well, we got 17 mil. Wow. Let's just bring somebody back. The addition was Wiggins. We'll see how it fits over time. But don't lose sight of that pick, because that pick is going to be very good.
Wow.
And that pick, to me, is why they made the move when they did.
You want Tom Brady on the 49ers?
No. I think Jimmy can do it. And if you shuffle around and try to get Brady in now, not only are you giving up all the momentum that you've built with Garoppolo over the last couple of years already, but now you're saying, all right, we better do it in this moment right away.
It's basically the way I think, and Goo, you're trading a 3-year window for a 1-year window.
Exactly. This is it. It's
like
time.
It's 1-year window. Duplicate what you did and get over the hump.
And I've been driving Jimmy's bandwagon all season, Nick, but I got to tell you, and we react to new information, I want to ask you, I was disappointed in Jimmy. He didn't play bad in the bowl, but there was – legacy throws, the one to Sanders, that was one that it makes you. He would have been made. And I know, oh, it's 1 year in, he's coming back. That's all good, Nick. But now to me, I'm thinking about, did your coach not have the trust in you in the first half? Everything changes for me. So it sounds like you're confident that he can go through his football puberty, circle back around, and get his team back. Or, Nick, sometimes you don't get throws and opportunities like that. Nick Anderson, your guy from Orlando, he missed those free throws,
cry.
And it ruined him.
I don't think Jimmy's going down that road, Guru.
All right.
But this is the issue with the 49ers. How many times over the last few years have we seen a team, they had it, the game was theirs, and then the next year they can't get it again?
That
is the issue. So whether it's Brady or not, I understand, but I'm with JD. If you move heaven and earth and you land Tom Brady and you say, all right, Jimmy, thanks, this is it. You're all in for a year. You keep Jimmy and you hope you can keep building the right piece around him. You've got a window that's not going to suddenly close instantly.
Getting back real quick to some free
sure.
agents for the Warriors.
Yeah.
There are two guys who got bought out. Now they're on other teams. I'm not crazy about either of them, but when you talk about like, oh, the culture, man. Marvin Williams, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
I'm out on both.
You're out on both.
Yeah. I think I am too.
Are you really? Yeah. I mean, I think Marvin Williams stinks.
You've seen enough over time where on both of those guys, the culture is only going to do so much. And the only reason I would defend Steve Kerr and Bob Myers with the Wiggins stuff is he's 24 and is still only in his sixth year, and he's been in Minnesota the whole time. There's still a chance. I'm not buying it still, but there's still a chance. With Kidd-Gilchrist and Marvin Williams, the time has come and gone.
The reason I say those two guys is because JD, center, wing backup, and that would be, he would be the backup. He would be the three.
To me, he's a four.
Both are.
I think Marvin Williams is a four. I think he'd have to be a four. Who was the other one?
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Not enough offense for me.
Even on a Warriors team.
Yeah, not
enough. That's got some firepower.
No, guy's
got
to be a two-way player.
All right.
In my mind.
And Goo, you're out. You're out on both.
Out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Marvin Williams would be more intriguing because he has made threes, but.
Mason Plumlee.
I like Plumlee.
I don't think it's gonna sway the balance of power one way or another.
Not gonna scare the Lakers or the Clippers.
Not enough.
By the way, who if I asked you right now, who do you think's gonna win it? Who would you put your money on?
Clippers.
JD's out on the Clippers.
And you know what's weird? And we've talked about this a lot. I am such a believer in the Clippers that I'd put a ton of money on them. Because I still believe that their ceiling, if they are all healthy going into the playoffs, is that much higher than anybody else's.
But so, Nick, they're getting beat with body shots. They can't stop inside scoring. I saw it on display on national TV twice this week, and I was like, oh, that ain't no big deal. They get it fixed. And now they're dwarfing Harold for me to where he ain't the big bad bully if you got a center that can score. And I'm telling you, they're giving up points left and right.
And when we talk again in a few months about them, you might be absolutely right. But this is a team with Doc Rivers that has been conditioned to believe that the playoffs are the only thing that matter. And when they get right and they get into a rhythm right before the playoffs and get everybody healthy and playing together, they're still going to have as much talent, if not more, than anybody else.
Why do they feel they can do that when they haven't won anything?
Because they've got Doc. And Doc has ingrained that into their brain.
Wow.
And they have Kawhi, who just did it a year ago.
All right.
Well, JD's life would be complete if Paul George never won a championship ring.
He's down on PG.
You'd be excited.
You're out on PG.
He's not a superstar. One, and I just think him and Kawhi and Lou Williams. They're the thing that I don't like how they've managed the season as far as two or three guys are taking the night
thinking
off every
they've
night.
Won three championships.
They're not getting the number one.
The Tibby Bontemps take of the day.
I don't like that at all. I also don't like the fact that on offense, they're just taking turns. It's Kawhi's turn to ISO. Now it's Lou's turn to ISO. How's Paul George going to do it? He's going to ISO.
You might be right.
Now, could their defense be good enough to where maybe that doesn't matter? Maybe, but they haven't showed that.
It hasn't been.
But they haven't showed that to me yet. I just don't like how they're trying to operate offensively. I think they make themselves easier to guard, and that ultimately limits all three of them to a certain extent. But the one way I say, okay, maybe they could win it, is if at some point they go like Toronto did last year, where it's Kawhi, and then everybody else falls in line as the clear-cut twos and threes. I'm just not sure how Paul George and Lou Williams can operate if they're twos and threes.
And they're still trying to figure that out. But yeah, the reason I'm so high on it is because of Doc and Kawhi. If you have them,
I feel like those two.
You've got a major chance.
Nick, thanks so much for joining us, man. Nick, that was the fastest hour we've had in a long time. Really
Absolutely,
appreciate
guys.
It, man.
Thanks for having me in.
That's Nick Friedell, ESPN. He covers the NBA, covers the Warriors, and I got to believe this won't be his last time in here. Great job,
Nick,
man.
A lot of fun.
Are you free next Saturday?
All right. When we come back,
Call me up, baby.
We got John Shea of the San Francisco Chronicle. He just completed a book on Willie Mays. It's called 24 Life Stories and Lessons from the Say Hey Kid. Looking forward to John Shea on the other side, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Matt Steinmetz, Daryl the Guru Johnson, and John Dickinson is in today for Bonte Hill. I've been looking forward to this one all show. John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle has just written a book with Willie Mays. It's called 24 Life Stories and Lessons from the Say Hey Kid. It is going to be published on May 5th, which is the day before Willie Mays' birthday. It's got fresh, exclusive material, and it's got some amazing photography. Hey, John, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it today.
Hey, my pleasure. How you guys doing?
Doing well. All right. The first thing I want to ask you about Willie Mays is, you know, obviously played a lot of his career in San Francisco. I'm from the East Coast originally, but even on the East Coast, I had heard of Willie Mays, and I knew that he was some kind of elevated player, even though he was 3,000 miles away. What made Willie Mays bigger than the game of baseball?
You know, I don't think Willie, in fact, I've spoken with old Dodgers who played at Ebbets Field, was ever booed on the road. And that says a lot when you think of today's superstars who go elsewhere, and everywhere they go, they seem to be booed. But people went, I mean, the Giants led in attendance, road attendance, throughout the 60s. And that's pretty significant considering they didn't, you know, weren't one of the big major teams to draw at home. And it was because of Mays. A lot of the players, obviously, were Hall of Famers, from McCovey to Cepeda. And I mean, they had just great depth. They were one of the first, if not the first, to bring in the Latin Americans in the early 60s, you know, from Alou to Cepeda to Marichal, on and on and on, Pagan. But Mays was different than Jackie or Newcomb or Dobie, the first wave of African Americans who burst into the scene in 47 and 48. Willie came along 4 years later, but he was like the first African American superstar who could do it all. He had personality. He had flair. You didn't take your eyes off him at the plate or in the field. And he was just better than everybody. But more than that, he just enjoyed the game. And you know, the basket catch, the hat falling off, everything he did was magnetic and a reason to always watch him.
I understand it's impossible to compare eras, but is he on your list of the top three players of all time, or three to five, or there are a lot of people that say he's still the best. Like, where do you come down on that? And if I may, and I don't want to date you or anything, but like, how much of Willie's career did you actually see in person or live through?
Yeah, late 60s, early 70s. 71 was obviously the big season at the time, because they won the division the first time they were in the postseason since 62. And the Bay Area was all abuzz. The A's were good, about to win their three straight titles. But that was the last year they had Mays and McCovey and Marichal and Perry on the same team. They really broke up the following year, and they didn't win again until, 87. So Yeah, I saw enough of him to realize, obviously, where does he rank? I mean, for me, he's the best overall player in the history of the game. There's a numbers chapter in this book in which I speak with Bill James and Eno Saris and Rob Nyer, all these people who know their history, know their numbers, and would suggest that Mays, who won two MVPs, would have or should have, based on today's numbers, won many, many more. Like they say about Mike Trout, who has three, who won seven.
We're joined by John Shea of the San Francisco Chronicle. John Shea has just written a book with Willie Mays. It's going to be out May 5th, the day before Willie's 89th birthday. It's called 24 Life Stories and Lessons from the Say Hey Kid.
John, I grew up loving the...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.